Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Joe Cortez. I got into boxing back in the city, in New York City, where I was born and raised, Spanish Harlem. And I joined the Boys Club of New York at the age of 15. And as I started boxing, and my brother Mike and I got into the Golden Gloves, and we ended up winning. I won 5 Golden Glove championships. I won 6 Golden Glove championships. My brother won 5. And when I was 18, I turned pro. But before I turned pro, we had to fight for the New York Open, the Eastern Championship, the National Championship. And then I ended up winning 18 out of 19 professional fights when I turned pro at 18. As you see, these gloves here, this is signed by Mike Tyson and designed by Manny Pacquiao. I refereed Mike Tyson 8 times, and I refereed Pacquiao 3 times. I refereed, my dream was to do 1 world title fight. When I retired with 176 world championship fights. And it was a dream come true. My calling was to be a referee. I've been inducted to 5 Hall of Fames right now. And I've been blessed many ways.
Amen. And I grew up watching you when I was a little kid. Whenever we get pay-per-views, you would be right there. And those decades of that. So it was a lot of exciting stuff. Do you mind if we jump right into some student questions?
Sure.
One of the kids, we want to know, how can you describe your upbringing in New York and Spanish Harlem? How did that influence your segue into the profession of boxing?
Well, my brother Mike and I, we got to start boxing with the Boys Club, but there was a fighter by the name of Gaspar Lindy Ortega. He's the one that started us in boxing. He lived in my same block, and we used to go with him to the gym. And then my brother started boxing first. He kind of influenced us to get started in boxing because we didn't want to get involved with gangs or drugs. So we got involved with the Boys Club, and we started boxing. It kept us on the right track. If it wasn't for boxing, I don't know where I'd be today. It was a blessing in disguise.
Amen. And I've met some refs before who didn't like have that experience in the ring. This comes from me, this question. How has your experience in the ring as a fighter shaped how you are as a referee?
Well, the conditioning for as a fighter, you have to be 100% physical condition, meaning no drugs, no gangs, no alcohol, no smoking. Can't be on the right track. But if and refereeing, basically the same. You have to be focused. You have to be 100% physically fit, but most importantly, physically and mentally fit, both.
Now, can you explain, one of the kids, they want to know, because they obviously did some surgery and stuff like that, but fair but firm, where that come from, and can you kind of elaborate a little bit on that?
Okay, fair but firm, in Spanish, it'd be firme pero justo, but you guys speak Spanish. It means, well, what happened, I was doing an interview one time, and they said, yo, what does it take to be a good referee? I said, you know, with the interview that we're doing, I said, well, I said, you got to be fair with the fighter, but by the same token, you got to be firm. So when I listened to the interview later on, I said, I like that fair but firm. I'm going to use that. And so I started using it. I'm fair, but I'm firm. But people say, Joe, that's great. Keep it. We love it. But they know me, Mr. Fair but Firm. Firme pero justo.
And it stuck. That's one of the things you're known for. It's like Nike, just do it. One of the kids emailed and they said, what are some of the most challenging situations that you faced while refereeing, and how did you handle it?
Well, there was I'll give you an example for a better known fighter, Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, I refereed Mike Tyson 8 times. He signed his glove, see, Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson, his last fight that he had, it was his 8th fight that I refereed of his. And I remember it was getting out of control because he felt he wasn't doing nothing too strong. He fought a fight by the fighter of Kevin McBride. And he started headbutting Kevin McBride. He caught him. I stopped the action. I grabbed Mike by the wrist. And I took 2 points from him. And I told him, you keep on with this stuff, you're going to be disqualified. In that same round, there was a 6th round at the end of the round. I mean, he tried to break his arm. He switched his arm. He's getting out of control. And I said, Mike, you got to stop this. And then when the bell rang at the end of the sixth round, he got pushed down. I said, no, knockdown. He was down. Then he got up with the bell rung. He got up. He walked to his corner. I walked with him to his corner. I don't even know no condition continue. And I looked at his trainer and I looked at Mike and I threw my hands up in the air. I said, that's it. That's it. No more. No more. I stopped the fight. And Mike Tyson, that was Mike Tyson's last fight. And that was 19 years ago. Can you imagine that? And people say, Joe, you know, you done some of the most biggest names like Roberto Duran, Manny Pacquiao, Mike Tyson, Oscar De La Hoya, Willie Cesar Chavez, Lennox Lewis. There were so many, William Joppy, Aaron Pryor. It's been so many, 176 world champions, Prince Nassim Ahmed. And it was just so many great fighters that I refereed. 176. My dream was to do one world title fight. I retired with 176. And they know me as Mr. Faber Firm. Fime para justo.
I love that. One of our kids, they wanted to know, how do you stay calm when you have those kind of split second decisions that you have to make in high pressure kind of moments? How do you stay calm? Because our students now, they're preparing for giving speeches in school and different high pressures. What kind of advice do you have there?
Well, the thing is that you have to be mentally prepared. You have to do your homework. Go in there thinking about what if something goes wrong? How am I going to handle this? What if he headbutts his opponent? How about if he hits the opponent while he's down? You know, how about if he hits on a break? Anything that's out of unsportsmanlike conduct. As a referee, you have to be prepared for the unexpected. So you have to do your homework. You look at, let's say, YouTube channel. You see the fighters today. You look at the fights on TV. You see that they have good habits. They have bad habits. And some fighters, they have a tendency of using headbutt, or they want excessive holding, too much holding. They hit low blows. Everything that's unsportsmanlike conduct, you got to know all of that before you go into the dressing room. You go to the dressing room before the fight. You give them the instructions. You tell them, all right, fighters, I'll be the referee for tonight. I want to make sure you give me a good sportsmanlike conduct. Obey my commands at all time. Okay. I don't want any low blows, any headbutts, any excessive holding, spitting out the mouthpiece intentionally. Anything like sportsmanlike conduct may cost you points, or you may be disqualified. You understand that? They say, yes, we understand. Okay. And if they're in Spanish, you can give the instructions in Spanish. Okay, caballero, ya le di las reglas del camerino. Quiero una pelea limpia. Protege en todo momento. No quiero que aguante. No use la cabeza. No de golpe bajo. Protege en todo momento. Cuídese. Nos vemos afuera del ring. That's how I give the instructions to them. Then ringside, I tell them, okay, fighters, when they bring the fighters together in the middle of the ring, before the fight starts, I tell them, okay, fighters, we went to the rules in the dressing room. I want a good, clean fight. Protect us at all time. Any questions to my left? Any questions to my right? Okay, touch them up. Good luck. You know, fair, but I'm firm. Touch him up. And that's how it starts.
That's great. You kind of touched on this one question. This is coming from Maria, and she's in Ecuador. You can unmute to ask. And if you have another fight as an example, we'd love to hear it. But Maria, go ahead and unmute. You had a very good question.
Well, hi. My question is, what has been the hardest moment decision you have had to make during a boxing match?
What kind of decision?
The hardest decision you've ever had to make.
The hardest decision I ever had to have to make, Maria, it was when a fighter is hurt. For example, I'll give you a good example. When I was refereeing Oscar De La Hoya against Julio Cesar Chavez, there were two great fighters. Chavez was the champion, and Oscar De La Hoya was coming up. And he cut Chavez with a bad cut, and I called in the doctor to make sure it was not too serious. But as the fight progressed, the second round, third round, I called in the doctor several times, Dr. Flip O'Mansky, and I told him, doctor, Chase's cut out getting kind of bad now. He said, Joe, you got to stop it. Okay? But we stopped it because I don't want the fighter. He couldn't hardly see for the eye with so much blood coming down. So I stopped the fight, and that's one of the biggest decisions I had to make in boxing, because stopping Julio Cesar Chavez, one of the great fighters, and losing to Oscar De La Hoya was a big thing in boxing. So that was one of the biggest decisions I had to make and stopping a fight.
I can't imagine how like high pressure that must have been for you in that. I mean, because that's Julio Cesar Chavez at the time is best of all, you know, that's going on. So that must have been absolutely wild. We have a question from Juan Pablo in Mexico. It kind of skirts on this, kind of touches on this. Juan Pablo, you should be able to unmute to ask, and then we're gonna go with Valeska in Ecuador.
Hello. I wanted to ask you that. What was the best fight you had seen, and what was the hardest thing of being a referee?
Okay, well, let's go with the best fight. One of the best fights, 176 championship fight that I did, one was Julio Cesar Chavez, when he fought Greg Haugen in Mexico City, in La Stadium Azteca. And it was 132,000 fans there that night. And it was an amazing experience for me because it was a decent fight. I mean, Chavez stopped Greg Haugen. And I stopped it at the end of the, in the fifth round. I stopped the fight. And Greg Haugen was taking a beating. But, you know, going into a boxing ring with 132,000 fans, that's an experience I'll never forget for the rest of my life. Nobody's ever broken that record. 132, Stadium Azteca, para mí fue un gran honor.
How do you even hear yourself think? 132,000 people, like, how are you able to? That must have been so loud.
Well, it was very loud. I mean, but you have to, as a referee, you got to go, like I said, you got to go mentally prepared because I knew it was going to be a lot of people there. I didn't expect 132,000. I'd say maybe 50,000, 60,000, but 132 is unheard of. The record has not been broken yet. And that was a, but one of the greatest fights I ever refereed. The second question to Juan is, well, Manuel, the fight when I refereed Roberto Duran against Iran Barkley for the middleweight championship. If you look it up on YouTube, Roberto Duran, Iran Barkley. You watch that fight, one of the greatest fights you ever want to see. Nonstop for 12 rounds. Roberto won by a split decision. Two judges gave it to Duran, one judge gave it to Iran Barkley. It was a great fight in Atlantic City in 1989.
When was the first year that you started refereeing?
I started refereeing in 1977.
Okay, so you were there like in the days of like Dooku Kim and like Boom Boom Mancini when it was like the 15 rounds and it made the change to the 12 rounds, correct?
Exactly. That fight took place here in Las Vegas, and Richard Green was the referee for that fight. And because of that fight, they start changing. They wanted more safety for fighters, so they cut it for 15 rounds to 12 rounds. And they had three judges, and they changed from three judges to two judges. Actually, before it was two judges and a referee. Was the third referee was referee and judge, so we played two roles. But because of that death of Dooku Kim, got killed in the punch he took to the head by Boom Boom Mancini, they changed. They took the duties away from the referee from being a judge, and referee just said, "You're only going to referee now." Now we have three judges, but they brought in an extra judge. So three judges do the scoring, so the referee can concentrate more on the safety of the fighters.
But yeah, and that in your opinion, that helped tremendously, correct?
It will help some people. They can't. It's kind of difficult for some referees to concentrate on the scoring of the fight and refereeing at the same time. So it was best maybe to take the scoring away. But I scored my first 10 years as a referee. I was a referee and judge at the same time. I was doing two jobs at the same time, only getting paid for one.
Well, I'm sure you were good at both. Unfortunately, I only remember you as a ref. We have a question from Ecuador, and this is Valeska. Valeska, you had an awesome question. Go ahead and unmute to ask your question for Mr. Cortez.
Okay, I would like to know how you were able to handle your nerves during fights with your opponents.
Well, you know, like I said before, you know, being a fighter helped me be a better referee because when you go in there, you're under a lot of pressure. When you got somebody, you don't have a team, but guys helping you out. You're by yourself in there in the ring. You got to learn how to have self-esteem. You have to have control of your mind. Be physically and mentally fit because if you're not mentally fit for a fight, it's going to be hard for you to be a good referee. You always got to be prepared. But preparing yourself, living a clean life, training, their physical conditions, making sure that, when you're refereeing a fight, that you gotta protect the fighter. That's what people want to see. Yeah, so you guys up there today watching this, listening to me from around the world, you can watch my YouTube channel, and you can see some classes I give. I give instructions about refereeing. What does it take to be a decent referee? You can see at the Joe Cortez Show. I'm on there every Friday at the YouTube channel. You can see me. I bring fighters. I had Tony the Tiger Lopez this past Friday on the show. And it's very interesting that we can share some knowledge and wisdom with the fans out there. And I mean, you guys around the world, from Ecuador, you're on live right now, Mexico, and wherever, with Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic, all you, like South America, Argentina, you all out here watching now. I'm very pleased to be your guest today and share my knowledge and wisdom. And sabe que le deseo lo mejor, una feliz Navidad y un próspero año nuevo. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody out there.
Muchas gracias. So our final question is going to come from me. And I ask this of all of our guests. What advice would you give to these kids as they go off there in the world, whether they want to go into boxing or something completely different? You are a legend. You are a Hall of Famer. What advice do you have for these kids?
Well, the advice I give you kids is stay away from gangs, stay away from drugs. Those two things are very important. You know, try to get an education, because I know some of you want to be in boxing, but some of you just want to just learn about the sport, but you want to have a career in your life. I have three beautiful daughters, Cindy, Sandy, and Christine, and they all try to finish their education, went to school. I got grandchildren. I got four grandchildren. Same thing with them. My oldest grandson is in the military, and I have my second son who graduated from Purdue University. He's a football player. And I got my two youngest granddaughters, Ayana and Maya. And then we have a great-granddaughter by the name of Isabella. So we are very pleased that all I can tell you guys is keep yourself clean, obey everybody out there, obey the law. Don't try to go against the law. Fight, you know, for your life to make sure you live a good, clean life. Always keep thinking positive. Love yourself, love your family, and love those around you, and always pay forward.
Amen. Thank you so much, Joe. Now, before we go, before I end the meeting for all, traditionally, I allow everyone to unmute. You guys can all unmute. And can we all collectively say thank you to legendary boxing referee Joe Cortez for taking the time to talk to you guys today. Thank you so much, Joe. Feliz Navidad.
Thank
bye.
You. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.